Greetings, hello, and welcome to the Beyond Earth show. I'm your host, Ray Trujillo, and thank you, all of you, for being here today on this very most special transmission for not only one reason, that it is my birthday show today, September 21st, and thank you for celebrating my birthday with me, but the most important aspect of today's show is that I have the most beautiful, most sacred being that I know that as a very wonderful guest today. And his name is Mr. Jeffrey Jowett. And he is a world-renowned medium and author. And also, he's an instructor of higher education. And he has helped countless people and countless souls, young and old, and with a specificity with children especially, and young adults, and also helping many people through various circumstances, especially with speaking to their beloved that have crossed over to the other side. And may I introduce my dear friend, Jeff Jowett.
Thank you so much, and happy birthday.
Thank you so much. It is such an honor and a privilege to have you with us for the Beyond Earth show, and then also for this birthday show. It just happens to fall on my birthday, so thank you again so many times.
Oh, I enjoy our conversations about the higher self.
Yes, precisely, and it's so unique, of course, and rare to have special sacred bonds with fellow humans in this third dimension. And when you find such a calling in this world, and as Jeff, as you are definitely in your Dharma and beyond, where you facilitate loving, compassion, empathetic, and in the spiritual discernment of your gifts, and also with your precise mediumship. I mean, I have to say that Jeff is the most accurate medium that I've ever known or ever even heard about. And he is the most authentic and humble individual. But my goodness, his readings, his medium readings, and are just profound. And I just have to express that before we get going, so everyone can just know where, you know, what I am exemplifying of Jeff's skills. And also too, that what he does workshops and classes, and he helps so many people with their higher self and with their intuition, and finding that we're all spiritual beings living in a physical body, as this is just our vessel. And so he really helps support and encourage fellow mankind here on Earth, and animals as well. He's definitely gifted with speaking to the animals that we love that have crossed over.
Well, you know, thank you. Thank you for that. And I'm just gifted that I was given the opportunity from the spirit world to be the speaker, to be the telephone connection to the spiritual realm. You know, I often tell my friends, as I've spoken to you, that it's so much more fascinating talking to them being out of body, because they're away from the ego and the emotional self, and they're in their truth, authentic self. And the inspiration and guidance and encouragement they provide us from the spirit world is so very helpful.
And when you are being that transmitter, right? And one can say that perhaps it's a combination, it's a gift from the Holy Spirit, if one aligns with that dogma, or it's a cosmic unity, that the consciousness that you're tapped in, let's say, in, as perhaps we can call or classify it generally, as the satellite per se, right? As a transmitter, transponder, and that communicator, like you say, with the telephone. And how does that feel for you when you're connecting to the higher dimensions and those that have transcended this earthly plane? How does that feel for you when you are experiencing that beautiful and divine, pure communication?
Well, it's absolutely amazing to me. So I pursued science, and right now I have the opportunity to teach psychology, and we're looking at right now, sensory and perception. And it helps me even understand extrasensory perception more, because everyone has the ability to feel beyond the range of the physical, like the light range you can see in or the auditory range you can hear in. It's just giving yourself the opportunity to be still and calm and at peace, and you'll get the gentle messages. And my passion is to help people understand how they can especially connect with their higher self, because your higher self is your gateway to your soul self, your spirit, your I am, your God source within you. And it gives you the ability to be one with anyone, whether they're somewhere physically on somewhere else on the planet, or they're at a higher vibration, like the spiritual realm. And, you know, it's just such a beautiful and authentic aspect of our being. And being in the energy of that feels so natural. The best way I can describe it is it feels like I'm going home when I connect there. And it takes attention, because, again, being in the physical world, we get distracted so easy. But doing a reading, it's just aligning my mind. It's like a radio station, you know, tuning into a higher frequency and just, you know, just listening. But the key word you used when you asked the question was feeling. It's very much feeling based. You know, so many people want to see and hear, like, from their loved one as if they're still here. But the feeling that comes with the message is so important. And that's what I hone in on when I give a reading, is to help a person actually feel and sense the presence of their loved one.
And that's beautifully stated. And thank you for sharing your profound wisdom with all of us. And thank you for sharing those perceptions, especially of the extrasensory. And when, let's just speak about mirror neurons for a moment, right? So with like the mirror neurons, how when we can identify and see within someone else or feel that, and we have the cones, like the birds have the cones and the rods, and they just know where to migrate, right? And you speak of often that the body is, of course, an electrical circuitry, right? That we're energetic bodies of energy. And you've written really beautiful books, which we'll talk about soon. But of course, when you speak of the tangibility, where people want to see and touch and feel in a different way, in the tangible sense in third dimension, they want that evidentiary proof, right? But when you can provide, in which you do in profound detail, I mean, it's exquisite. I mean, there are countless anecdotes I can speak of Jeff's precision and accuracy. And it's just a tremendous, it just, wow, it just, it is beyond expression. That's what I can say.
Well, and you know, the important aspect is just get out of the way. Like, don't let your ego mind, your conscious mind get in the way. Allow that super consciousness, that extra sensory aspect of yourself to connect. And it's amazing how creative, but also how funny our loved ones in spirit are. Because I remember a reading I did in your neck of the woods. It was in Nevada. Mm-hmm. And the first thing, this woman's husband came through, and I saw peacocks and cows. And I said, I just see peacocks and cows. And she said, really? And I said, yeah, specifically I see two peacocks. And one of them had the name of her husband. And that's what they had their yard. They had two peacocks and they had cows. So if I let my rational mind grab on to hold that, I'd be like, ah, that can't be right. And when I'm teaching people mediumship classes, so many times they get really beautiful feelings and messages, but their ego mind says, no, I got to filter that. You know, we don't want to filter. And I think a good medium is someone who does not filter. They just present what's given to them and they trust enough to know. And, you know, in the form of mediumship too, that I think what's really important is that when you do a mediumship reading, you're not doing it to get validation from the sitter. You're doing it to just share the light, the love, the encouragement, and knowing that that person might receive it, and sometimes people aren't ready to receive it. But as long as you're the messenger and you're being genuine and clear, and have that sense of integrity, it's really important.
Thank you so much for sharing that as well. And also, you mentioned integrity. And before I speak to the content of what you expressed, I want to emphasize with integrity. I do want to say that you definitely are in a pure alignment of integrity. You really are the most humble and authentic. You're so, I would say, clear is an understatement, but when you speak of that, like, let the ego take a back seat, eviscerate the ego. There's so much truth to that, because the negative fear separative ego that we all contend with, especially being in this third dimension, in this plane, it is the bane of our existence, regardless of what we do in this world for our daily practices or what we do for career and work and so forth, and our family dynamics, our friendship dynamics, our colleague dynamics. That the ego tends to be that wrestle, that that interception that just gets in the way, and you stated that perfectly. So when you're embracing and going further, deeper into the focus and the hyper-focus of connecting with the spirit realm, with those that have transcended this plane, that when you speak of that coming from the higher self and seeing that pure channel, and saying, I dismiss the ego in that moment, there's profound truth with that. And I feel that everyone that's listening to this can relate to that in a plethora of ways. You know, we can even have that be like where it's a form of contention and it can cause unnecessary dispute. So just imagine, everyone, if you could just subside the ego for just a moment when you go into your meditative realms, when you go into your prayerful realms, when you go into your focus on connecting with your higher self, you know, what Jeff is speaking of is that if the ego can just be dismissed and you hear the authentic truth that we all have within us, then thereby we are living our supernatural abilities in that way that we are comprised of, that God made us all to be these miraculous beings. And so, Jeff, with I wanted to express with the, when did you first observe or notice that you were gifted? I'm sure you get asked that all the time, but
yeah. Well, in my memories are, I can, it amazes my parents, especially when I can tell them the details of my bedroom when I was 2 and 3 years old, 2, 3, and 4. We moved after that, but I can describe to them in detail where my bed was, and there were 2 windows in my room. And I would tell them that 4 spirits would visit me right at dawn. And they were telling me stuff like, someday you're going to be like a doctor, but it's not a doctor of the physical body. It's going to be a doctor of the spirit. And they would share with me insights of just how beautiful energy is. And they weren't physical. They were vibrations. And there were 4 different colors. There were 2 that were more masculine and 2 feminine. And I remember my parents, I had a day bed in my room because my grandma, when she'd come to stay, would stay in there. So my parents would sleep in there to see if they could see what I saw, and they didn't. And one of the very last times before we moved from that house, they filled my room with butterflies. And it was so beautiful. And that's always been a symbol to me of their presence. But the one thing they taught me, and this is a lesson it took me a long time to understand, and I'm still learning about it, is they will tell you what you need to know, not necessarily what you want to know. And I get frustrated because I have, in my human experience, relationship issues or financial issues. And it's like, I need to know this. I need to know this. But it's more of my ego wanting to know it. And spirit reveals to you what's needed, necessary, because spirit is here to support you on your journey. They're not here to interfere with your free will, but they're enthusiastic about helping you to know yourself and to release any karma that you're working on as you come here. So to help people in that way, and when I started doing readings, I was often confused because someone would come and say, I need to hear from this person, or you need to tell me about if this relationship is going to work. And Spirit only showed me understandings of why perhaps that relationship was challenging to that person, or why, what lesson they can learn from it, but not the outcome, because the outcome is up to us. It's up to our free will. And you have a very sharp gift in seeing inside other people's consciousness, which is wonderful. My focus is more on talking to the spiritual realm and getting and bringing their feedback through. And then I integrate that with my intuition. You know, my intuition, I believe, is the voice of my spirit. My spirit is speaking to your spirit when you're getting a reading. And it's interesting that, you know, the saying that sometimes people aren't ready for the teacher to come through, so that the spirit is trying to be the teacher and I'm presenting the lesson from spirit, and some people will sit across from me on the couch with their arms across their chest like, no, that's not what I want to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What has helped me so much is, again, when it comes to mediumship, I took a few classes early on, but my guides just said, just listen through us. But that whole idea of the yeses and nos you get when you're giving a reading. And so often spirit will tell me to tell the person, just be open to receive, because many times you won't know and understand the information until you assimilate it, or till some experience happens that makes it known to you. And I love that, because again, imagine how boring life would be if you went to a reader and they said, okay, this week you're going to meet the person of your dreams, but in 2 years you're going to get divorced, and then 3 years you're going to meet the next person of your dream. I mean, what's the point of having the experience? It's like you're in the play, but you know everything that's coming down the road. That's not very exciting.
Correct. And you know, one thing I wanted to address with you is, thank you for sharing about your childhood and your memories as a young boy and young child, and the symbolism. And you know,
I was a weird kid, so I used to have a pet cemetery, and I would find dead critters in the neighborhood, like a bird that had died, or we lived by a lake, a fish, and I would bury them, and then I would have a funeral for them, but I would, you know, dig them up several months later, and it's like their body, you know, was degraded. It went away. Like, where did it go? So and from a young age, I wanted to know, where is that life force? Where's that spirit? Like, where does it go? And that really set me on a great path early on. But I'm a perpetual student, and you know, I'm trying to really understand this whole energy dynamic. And a lot of people call Earth a school. I see it more as a place of remembrance. It's remembering who you truly are. And by having the relationships and the experiences you have, they're awakening you up to know and better understand who you are, and also letting go of who you're not.
And that's profound. That's poignant, what you just expressed. And there's so much there with remembrance, and that finding your true self. And I just have to make a segue into this, because as a fellow animal lover, just like you, I understand giving random animals a funeral, because I myself do that, and I still do that. So I just want to say, from the animal lover in me to the animal lover in you, I honor you and the sacredness of that, and also the respect of the shell. And one thing I want to say is that, you know, the spirit, where the spirit goes, like when the life force leaves the physical self, right? When you can see how nature is this in the symbiosis, right? Where that symbiotic aspect starts to, you know, coerce, and it's very aligned, where it's like in this perfect harmony and balance. So like, let's just say that a bird is deceased, correct? And it's on in the forest. A bird just died of old age peacefully, right? No injury, just old age.
Mm-hmm.
And where it's in a forest and, you know, it's lived out its full life cycle, thank God, right? But when the life force, the energy leaves the physical shell, then the ants know exactly the right moment to approach the body, right? To assist with the decomposition process, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's so much in the evidentiary aspect of the spirit, the soul, when we commune with the science and the biology, with also our spiritual attunements, whether it's religious or dogmatic beliefs or not, whatever it may be, whatever that is respective to someone's belief system. But, you know, you and I have similar backgrounds where we were, you know, raised Catholic and so forth. But in the notion of that, there's the tangible proof right there that the spirit still lives on and still exists and is just transcending in this perpetual motion in which the ants know precisely when to approach the body, the shell, the vessel, and the soul is moving onward. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And truly, no matter what religion you look at, there's great symbolism. And, you know, when I think of Christ, I think of Christ consciousness. And if I look at his teachings in terms of consciousness, instead of through the eyes of a human, to me, that's what makes it so amazing, because a constant message he gave as a teacher is, what I'm doing, you can do. It's if you achieve that connection to God. To me, that represents, too, that higher self, that higher consciousness, and the resurrection of your spirit. You know, your spirit's just temporarily in this body. And Edgar Cayce actually has a really interesting philosophy about the Bible. He interprets the Bible as actually the evolution of the soul of a man. And first you're in the Old Testament before you are enlightened. And then you go through enlightenment and you get into the Christ consciousness. And I always thought that was a really interesting way to see the Bible as an evolutionary teaching on a spiritual level.
Oh, precisely. There's so much that's embedded within the lines and so much up for what's really super clear and also what's up for interpretation. And what you, to just compliment what you just spoke of so beautifully, that in Jesus's own words, to paraphrase, to be in this world but not of it, right? And
yes.
So
yes.
When we are in that flow of the I am presence, the I am consciousness, the Christ consciousness, the Christ within, right? And so, you know, the kingdom of heaven is within you, right? That the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of the divine, that no matter what your belief system is, we cannot denounce that we are spiritual beings, hence the energy and the life force that we have, and the animals, and a little spider, a little ant, and the microcosm and the macrocosm. So there's so much to celebrate with our lives here on this planet in the third dimension. This plane is just a wonder trove. It's a truly like a treasure trove of so much, as you were speaking about being a perpetual learner, right? I myself share the same sentiment that we are here and we can never know not enough. Like, was it Aristotle or Socrates that said, I know that I know nothing.
Yeah.
Right. And so we are perpetually learning and evolving and progressing in our soul and in the evolution of our soul and the dynamics of our presence. And what better way to attune into the Christ consciousness in that divinity? And also, let's go to this. I wanted to ask you a couple questions about, you had mentioned about karma and also about touching in with the divine. So I wanted to speak and ask you about guardian angels and spirit guides. And then I wanted to get to karma with you. But with guardian angels, how do you perceive them when you are facilitating and giving a beautiful session to someone?
Yeah, so I see when you look at some of the universal laws, and one of them is unity and oneness, that we're all part of the same. A guard or an angel or guardian is really an aspect of your higher self.
Okay.
And it's through your higher self that you resonate with their wisdom too, because if I don't know Spanish and I'm around a bunch of Spanish speaking people, I don't understand the language. But when I attune my intuition to that higher vibration, I get the language. And language usually comes in signs and symbols, but most importantly, it comes through synchronicities. Spirit sends a continuous vibration to you until you get it. And it might come through a song you hear on the radio. It might come through a person you meet in the grocery store. It might come through a license plate, you know, or a billboard. But when you're attuned to receive it, you know, it's right there for you. And again, I believe there's higher masters and guides. I still think they're all part of God's source, just as we are. Mm-hmm. But they just resonate at a certain frequency, and they honor and respect our free will, and they are available 24/7 when we need guidance and assistance. But as a great teacher, I find that guides and guardians really help just remove barriers so that we can self-discover. They're not there to give you the hard lesson. They're going to perhaps guide you on a route that will help you discover for yourself. And that discovery is the aspect that you are part of source. You are part of universal energy. You're part of God. And that's where enlightenment comes.
Thank you. Beautifully stated. And the most beautiful aspect, I believe, of being human here on planet Earth is that God provided us the gift, that divine gift of our autonomy, our free will, to choose, to make decisions, right? And even if some of us make not always the best decisions, we're all fallible right here on Earth. But in the way that we can utilize some of those choices, whether they're good, mediocre, or not so good, that we learn and we transcend and we become better humans because of it, perhaps, right?
Yeah, and that's, imagine someone loves you so much that they're going to give you the opportunity to discover this for yourself, so that it trusts you so much, it believes in you so much, and also does so free of any kind of punishment or judgment. That comes from, you know, ourselves.
Yes.
To me, that's what's so beautiful. To be in that light, when I can hold it, it's beautiful, because there's no absolute wrong or absolute right. And we're in a black and white world. We're in, you know, on and off, up and down. The economy exists only in the physical plane. But when you start to explore spiritual plane, you get away from chocolate and vanilla, and you have all the different flavors, you know, and that's what's so, I don't know, for me, it's so meaningful, that it's so exciting to explore, to be that little pioneer and explore. And I truly believe the greatest place we have yet to explore is our consciousness. You know, more so than any place in the universe, it's all within, because your perception of everything determines your reality. And the more that you can understand how you perceive things, and this is what I'm teaching my high school psychology students right now on perception, is that it's really molded by your belief system. It's molded by your life experience. You can see that kind of as karmic. And you can actually alter and change it. And you know, when they say the only thing you really can change is you know, what's within you, that's what you're doing. You're changing your perception. We all have days that aren't the highest vibration. We all experience people that aren't the highest vibration. But how we perceive them and how we react and respond to them defines our character, not their character. And when you get into a place to know and understand, and I remember in when I was 6 years old, my older sisters were telling me, you know, Santa Claus wasn't real. It was so hard for me to accept that, because to me it was, I wanted to be a good boy and, you know, be on the good list and not on the bad list, and not to have someone looking over me and telling me I'm right or wrong. And the same thing in my interpretation of who God source is this white bearded man who's moving us like chess pieces on a board. But how empowering it is when you realize that, no, I'm in charge and I have the freedom to make mistakes, because it's not a mistake if I learn from it. And that makes life so much more rich and so much more fascinating. And, it's like being an artist and just having chalk on a piece of paper or graphite versus, you know, having all the colors, all the different hues that exist. And our eyes are amazing. Our eyes can pick out thousands of different colors and patterns. And imagine what your spiritual eyes can do, which is beyond that.
You know, precisely. And a few things I wanted to note upon that, and thank you so much for everything you just expressed. In the matter of which I wanted to get to is the karmic expression, because when we have a God, a creator, our divine being that is the grand architect, let's say, and when we have this beautiful consciousness of God that gives us the free will to be essentially the masters of our own universe, where we can choose to be, we can manifest to be, we can live out our karma, our dharma, or make attitudinal course corrections for ourselves and to continue to make ascensions while we're still here on earth in the intellectual, the emotional, in the spiritual aspect of ascension. And then when we know that we have that gift of free will, that's in accordance with that, there's no true punishment, let's say, but our own, like you expressed, where the act of forgiveness, right? The laws of forgiveness, the divine laws and applications of that, forgiving ourselves or to be kind to ourselves, to send ourselves compassion, is truly at times overlooked, I would say, that people can be very difficult and hard on themselves, especially, I would say, when they're mourning and in bereavement, like when you are facilitating someone who is suffering a loss. And, you know, I'm sure that that's something that you encounter commonly. Would that be correct assessment?
Yeah, no, that's a good observation. And I find it especially interesting with parents. So my whole little journey, when I was in grad school, I was studying molecular biology and I was studying viruses and so forth. And part of my schooling was you had to do community service. And I was at Roswell Cancer Institute. So you had to do some aspect with, you know, families or patients. And I chose to be with children that were terminally ill. And I went once a week and I played board games with them. And there was one particular girl that she was 8 or 9, and she was, oh my God, such a wise little person. And we went, and the first time we went, we played the game of life. And I thought, oh my God, how appropriate. And we had really nice discussions. And she said, why is everyone so afraid of me? And I said, what do you mean? And she goes, I could tell my mom, my dad, my brother, they're all afraid of me. I know they think I'm going away forever, but she said, I know I'm going to see grandpa and we're going to dance up in heaven. And after a couple more visits through Candyland and some of the other games we played, the last time I met with her, she said, you know why you're here? And I said, you mean here, like at the school? And she said, no, like here with me, is because I'm going to tell you that you are going to help parents understand when we children go to the other side. And I just, oh my gosh, my whole perception shifted with this conversation. Now, the next week, that I went to go play board games with her, she had made her transition. But she gave me such a beautiful gift to say that my greatest lesson in grad school wasn't, you know, the test tubes and the formulas and so forth. It was this idea that you can help people understand that their children will still be around them when they're not physically present. And so with parents, what I have found, and why I tell you this story, is that they always want to find an excuse to blame themselves no matter how their child passes, whether it's cancer, a bicycle accident, you know, or an accidental overdose. They want to take responsibility. And it's so important that they understand that their gift was to bring that spirit into this world, but giving that spirit the gift to learn the lessons as they do, and that death is not a separation. Death is a change in vibration in your relationship. And it's actually a beautiful vibration, because no longer is that spirit in a body that is subjected to extreme emotions and egotistic ideas. They're free from all that. And often, too, the children in spirit will say that one of their main reasons for coming here was to help their families understand, you know, things broader than the physical world, or self-forgiveness or self-love. It's just amazing how selfless we are as spirits, because we understand our bodies are temporary. We're just going to replace it. But they also, and I think one of the biggest questions that gets parents mad is they'll come and say, you know, doesn't Susie miss me so much? And I'm like, no, she doesn't miss you at all, because she doesn't see any separation. And they get so mad, like, well, I miss her so much. And it's like, no, she understands that there is no separation. Do you understand how beautiful that is for her to be in that space, to know that? And she wants you to get into that space too. So yeah, children, remember, children are closest to the veil. Like when they're coming from the spirit realm, their memory of spirit is really strong. And as we get conditioned in the ways of the world, we tend to, you know, get over analytical, and we start to deny our spiritual self because we're focused on our physical, because our culture, you know, what job do you have? How much do you make? How many cars do you have? Who do you know? Who are you connected with? And then technology, on top of that, we get so lost in our spiritual journey sometimes, but it's okay, because we're always going to find our way back, that no matter what. The spirit can't help to know itself, especially when it leaves the body.
Thank you so much for sharing that, and the story of the young girl with leukemia that brought tears to my eyes in a beautiful way. Like, wow, what a great blessing and teacher that you were for both of each other. Like, that was a tremendous divine, I would say, like in a divine assignment, a divine union.
That's actually the introduction in my first book, Hope for Parents Who've Lost Children, is because that book is messages from kids in spirit that are helping their parents to understand and to not be angry. Like, when we're angry, when we're disappointed, when we're sad, when we're depressed, we don't feel their presence as much as when we're enjoying happiness. And that's why they want us to still to celebrate their lives, but celebrate, you know, the parents should celebrate their own lives, and the children they have that are still here. Because it's sad to me when a parent devotes their whole entire life just to their child who's not physically present anymore, when there's so much richness and beauty and love around them. Their perception through that experience has changed to really alienate and isolate themselves. And kids in the spirit world are like, no, they're going to do everything they can to get your attention, not to, you know, not to think that way, not to be that way.
And, you know, as you spoke of the separation of the physical body, but the energy is still there, it still consists and persists of the soul, the spirit, the vibration. And it's even more of an intensive, more profound, more powerful liberation of the soul, so to speak, right? In that manner of the liberation of the soul, liberation of the physical body. Let's say when we have an elderly friend or an elderly, or someone not even elderly, let's just go to middle range. And we have a friend who has left the planet due to illness compounded, and they're no longer in their physical body, but they're still present with us as our beloved best friend, a family member, right? That they're no longer suffering in that physical shell, correct? But they're now liberated, and they see us, they feel us, they connect to us. Even if we can't always see them, they can see us and feel us. Is that correct?
That's correct. And again, one of their constant themes, messages, is when people are stuck in their grief, which is it's an awful place to be stuck in, but it's a wonderful place to grow from. Mm-hmm. And because what I found is that when people have experiences of grief, of loss, through time, they tend to become so much more compassionate. And that might have been the reason why their loved one left, was so that they discovered that. But the thing that spirit often will say to me, to tell a person here who might be stuck in their grief, is, hey, switch places with me. Would you want me to be acting the way you are if you left? And that really gets people to think a little bit about, well, no, I don't want someone to, you know, give up all their happiness, to give up all their holidays. One of the best group readings I did was there were 14 parents out here in the desert who had all lost a child within the last 18 months. And I met with them, and I was very well guided. And it was right before Thanksgiving. And at the beginning of the meeting, I asked them all, you know, how many are planning to celebrate the holidays? And none of them, not a single one was. And I said, well, how many of you have other children? More than half of them, you know, still had children here. And I said, well, why are you denying yourself the holiday, your other children the holiday, your spouse the holiday, and your loved one in spirit? You're denying them the holiday, and they didn't get that. And I did I did readings for people, and their kids came through so strong. But like Johnny came through, and Johnny said, "Mom, buy those building blocks that I love to work with, as if you're buying from me, but give them to some child in need, because that way you're spreading my love still. You know, have my favorite dessert we always had on Christmas Eve. Hang my stocking, like celebrate me. I'm still part of me. Only your ego mind is denying my presence, but yes, feel me." And I talked to several of these parents after the holidays who actually set up a Christmas tree and did some of the things that came through. And boy, they said that it really helped them actually for moments enjoy the holiday. You know, they all said, we have work to do, but how brave of them to, you know, take the opportunity to celebrate. It's, again, it's almost, a lot of parents often feel like, well, I should feel miserable and awful because my child's gone.
Precisely. You know,
another thing I tell parents, and this is true experience, is I was writing my thesis from the Cancer Institute. I got a part-time position at Children's Hospital in Buffalo, and I worked in the in vitro fertilization clinic, and it was so fun because I was working with, you know, people who couldn't conceive. And at that time, it was early, that there was only a couple fertilization clinics in the States at this time. This was the mid-80s. And so I would say to a person, okay, I understand, you know, your 16-year-old daughter passed away. Would you rather have not had that experience? And no, of course not. Well, imagine someone who wants a child so badly and they can't have them. And you had that opportunity to have that child for 16 years that you still get to love. I know they might not hear it when it's so fresh, But as time goes on, with all of us, we all have relationships, whether someone passes the spirit or they just move on in their own life, to try to remember to put ourselves in a space of, you know, appreciation and gratitude for the experience we had. You know, in that first book I was telling you I wrote, I picked a Dr. Seuss quote, and I'm paraphrasing it, but it's something like, don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened.
Yes, beautiful. And thank you again for sharing all of that with me and the audience. We are so grateful for you. And one other element I wanted to bring up is, in addition to children, right, with how they, you mentioned that they're closest to the veil, would you also ascertain that with reincarnation, that when we have those profound memories prior to the conditioning and the of our maybe our inherent learned behavior as we're in our formative years, in which our maybe society, culture, our parents, even if they're not so open-minded, where we're dismissed at a young age because we're closer to the veil, we're told, oh, that's a fictitious memory that doesn't exist, or oh, you remember your past lives. Like, let's say, like in, you know, Buddhist or Hindu cultures, right? You'll hear about this around where children are born and they remember exactly even who murdered them, and they go march over to the house when they're 6 years old and they say, you buried me here. Like, they remember everything in such detail. And so would that also be synonymous with what you're speaking of with children being close to the
background? Absolutely. And here's, you know, I'm all about merging science with metaphysics. And here's an opportunity to really explore. University of Virginia, I think it was, gosh, I can't remember if it was Dr. Lee, but he did, he's transitioned now, but he did a study of over 20,000 children. And it is so amazing how many of these children had a past life. So he was dealing with children under the age of five, and he did research and wrote about this, over 20,000 children and how strong their memories were. And there's beautiful stories of how these children, this one boy remembered being on an aircraft carrier in World War II off the coast of, I think it was in the Philippines, but he knew the names of the people on the boat. He knew the name of the ship, and it sunk. And, you know, they did research, and, you know, this little boy. And ever since he was born, his parents said he picked this one airplane out that he loved that was, it was an airplane from that era, the Spitfire or something like that. But I mean, it's just amazing how there's so much information out there on reincarnation that it's not just a, it's just not an idea. It's real. And there's so many documented stations that have been studied through universities. And a lot of schools have developed, you know who it was? Ian Stevenson, that's his name. Ian Stevenson studies, he passed in the early 2000s, but his studies are so prolific, and so many other schools have taken on, they call it paranormal studies. Sometimes they don't know what to call it, but.
Yeah, it's an anomaly of itself.
But yeah, to me, it's just absolutely fascinating.
Because sometimes, you know, we have these behavior patterns that are perhaps, let's say, repetition of like our neuroses or idiosyncrasies that do carry over from imprints, right? And that I just find the whole topic of reincarnation so fascinating. And also, before we get to, I wanted to speak about your books and also your website and how people can get in touch with you to book sessions and your workshops that are absolutely phenomenal. And but I did want to express about animals, right, with that how you spoke about children, where, you know, when our children predecease us as we are adults and our children predecease us, and the natural law of order should be that, you know, well, there's really no order, but you know what I'm speaking of in the normal sense of what can be perceived as normal, what we would hope to be, that our children will outlive us, right? And but when we come to the animal kingdom and our domestic pets of all sorts, there's also that notion of that when our, let's say, our cats, our dogs, our birds, well, birds live a very long time, but you know what I mean. And so cats and dogs domestically, how they may live perhaps to 20 years or so, and sometimes average of 12, dependent upon, and also the other cases where they leave quite young. And so I've observed, of course, with my own, that I know that my cats reincarnated. I've seen dogs reincarnate as well. But I would it be fair to say that also, you know, animals want to, like, leave, have their human parent, let's say, bestow the inheritance upon another animal that needs it, right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And our pets are part of our families spiritually too, so they can reincarnate to find you.
Yes.
So that's the beauty of it. Now, I believe they're, you know, them being in different kingdoms, that animals don't reincarnate into people. That's my belief. There's other people that have different beliefs, especially in the Indian culture.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that we're on different soul paths, but they complement each other and we teach one another. And, you know, who greater to teach us about unconditional love than a dog or a cat?
Precisely, right. Yes, who greater? They're in their own way, ascended little masters or big masters. Who am I to say they're little masters? They're just in little bodies, you know, smaller bodies, but they're gargantuan in their soul and their spirit. And so I wanted to just tell the audience and speak about a couple of your books. Well, you mentioned Hope for Parents Who Have Lost Children, and yeah, that is a beautiful book. It's a Medium's Communication with Children in Heaven by Jeffrey Jowett, yours truly, here with us today. And also, you write very beautifully, of course, also on chakras. And there's another book that I recommend, of course, that The Power of I Am, Aligning the Chakras of Consciousness. And that is of, you can speak to that, the energetic body, and then also the lasting impressions, a medium's cherished messages from spirit. And I would definitely recommend everyone to acquire those books. And also, I just have to say, what's cooking in heaven, Grandma? Your grandmother is a beautiful, beloved, I would consider her an angel, if I may. So I know how close that, you know, she is to you and you to her.
That's a fun book to write, because many times grandmothers come through with their wisdom and family guidance and personal guidance. And so I wrote the book like a cookbook, and I was fortunate enough to know a couple of my great grandmothers and my grandmas, and their pictures on the front of the book, and in the back of the book is some of the recipes. And I had a Hungarian grandmother, a Swedish grandma, an Irish. So there's lots of interesting recipes, but they're recipes for life. That's how I see it. But I love the metaphors that spirit uses, and I use that in that book.
Yeah, so they're beautiful.
It really has been a fun journey so far.
Yes, and what a blessing to have your divine gifts that you share with the world, and you help so many people. And it is exponential, your healing. And I have just so much gratitude for you. And I did want to just take a moment to segue, because as we're speaking of the topic of, let's say, metamorphosis and spiritual introspection and our journeys and of transformation on earth, I wanted to just express about a dear friend of mine, and Melissa Russo. She has written a beautiful, let's say, a children's book, yet it is also for the inner child and the adult within us. So launching on September 24th, in the next Children's Mindset Master Book, in a series that supports parents in teaching mindset skills that support mental fitness and resiliency to their children. You can go to www.liveyourradiantlife.com, Instagram handle live_your_radiant_life. And the book is profound. It's a beautiful, beautiful read. And it consists of The Cocoon is the title, and it is a story about navigating the seasons of life, the friendships we can lean on, and the inner strength we discover as life's inevitable obstacles make us stronger. In The Cocoon, a small caterpillar embarks on a journey of transformation and self-discovery. Initially, his world is small and familiar, with each day being the same. However, when unexpected changes arise, Caterpillar finds himself full of fear, seeking safety. He builds a cocoon where he discovers inner peace and strength. With the guidance of his friend, Mr. B, he learns to embrace the wonders beyond his cocoon and emerges as a resilient butterfly, carrying the peace of his cocoon within him. Butterfly moves forward in life with courage and resilience, allowing obstacles to make him stronger. This story highlights the universal experience of facing change and finding the strength within to grow and thrive. So support your kids or your inner child in connecting with the courage and light within them as they move through fear and obstacles with resiliency. And that is The Cocoon by Melissa Russo. It is launching on September 24th, and you can find that on Amazon.com or her website. And so thank you for that moment of everyone listening. And so back to Jeff, with everything that you embody, I wanted to share with everyone how to connect with you and go to your website. And that is www.
And it's Jeff, G-E-O-F, last name Jowett, J-O-W-E-T-T.com.
Yes, and I'll have that on the show's banner with a bio of Mr. Jeff Jowett, my most esteemed special sacred guest for today. And I just have to say, what a privilege and an honor again. I just have to say, the testament of your beauty and your pureness and profoundness and integrity and everything about you. I just love you so much. I'm so grateful for you. And the audience is grateful for you as well. And also in the replay, the broadcast later, for those that didn't get to listen today. So any other lasting impressions, so to speak, that you'd like to say in adieu?
I really appreciate the opportunity of you having a forum to share all this wonderful insight from people, and also to wish you the happiest and best birthday ever.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Once again, to my audience, to the audience of the Beyond Earth Show, this has been Rachel here with special guest Jeff Jowett. And it is always a pleasure to be with you and have a most magical, most beautiful weekend and fall equinox. May the magic and the presence be upon you always. God bless you all. Till next time. Bye.